The growing availability of Iraqi troops began freeing up U.S. forces. When Captain Robinson came across a bomb planted in a southern Baghdad intersection, he stopped to make sure that an Iraqi army unit already at the scene had the situation under control, then moved on. 2 years ago, we would have had to handle this, and spent most of the day at the intersection waiting for the Army's bomb disposal experts to show up, he noted as his Humvee pulled away. Now, they've got the road blocked off. The quality of life of most soldiers also improved remarkably. Almost all troops, except those out at patrol bases and other outposts, slept in air-conditioned rooms and had ready access to the Internet. Forward Operating Base Falcon was in a rough area southwest of Baghdad called the Triangle of Death. But inside its high blast walls, it was a different world, with a cafe, a mess hall serving abundant food, and even a pseudo-nightclub, the Velvet Camel, that served alcohol-free beer and advertised that every Friday night is hip-hop night, featuring the Desert Pimps. Yet these two major changes in the U.S. military, a better understanding of counterinsurgency and a better quality of life, may have been fundamentally at odds. In order to keep a volunteer force relatively happy and willing to come back for third and perhaps fourth tours, the Pentagon had to provide a high quality of life for its people. But classic counterinsurgency doctrine says that the only way to win such a campaign is to live among the people. One of the 9 hallmarks of failure identified by military advisor Kalev Sepp was military units concentrated on large bases, and that was precisely the new force posture of the U.S. military. In this way, the military, for all the changes it was making, was still a square peg in the round hole of Iraq. By late 2005, the war was settling into the area in and around Baghdad. Inside the capital, it promised to be primarily a political fight over the makeup of the future government and whether there would be one that worked or a civil war, which appeared increasingly likely. But on Baghdad's outskirts, the effort remained very much a military campaign. The flat agricultural plain south and southwest of the capital is what I would call the most lethal area in Baghdad, said Colonel Todd Abel, a brigade commander there. This became the War of the Iyaz, as American troops called the cluster of hard-bitten towns named Mahmoudia, Yusafia, Latifia, and Iskandaria. They had become insurgent strongholds, with a rash of bombings, kidnappings, and shootings that intimidated locals into cooperating. Not coincidentally, these towns between Baghdad and Karbala also lay on the fault line between Sunni Iraq and Shiite Iraq, and likely would be a flashpoint for any civil war. It also became known to U.S. troops as the land of the big IEDs because of the huge roadside bombs there, some consisting of 2 500-pound bombs buried under cement plates that concealed them from the Army's metal detectors. When troops of the 101st Airborne first pushed into the area to establish a patrol base, they ran a gauntlet of bombs, with one platoon encountering 14 in a 3-hour stretch. My job, above all things, is to keep them out of Baghdad, said Captain André Rivière, the Swiss-American commander of Patrol Base Swamp, a half-ruined house bristling with dull black machine guns and surrounded by green sandbags, shin-deep mud holes, and shadowy palm groves. The important thing is to keep them fighting here. That's really the crux of the fight.